again, we'd be this morning with thankful hearts for having brought us to this convention, that we may listen to the words which will be spoken and comprehend them in our hearts, that we might be better inclined to be a better student and a better member of thy royal household. We thank thee, Father, for the wonderful reception which we've received here in Muhammad from the dear brethren, and we thank thee for the great love that is enjoyed by all. We ask that thou will continue to bless and keep us in thy loving care, and remembering those who are undergoing trials and in beds of sickness, guide them according to their needs and according to thy will for them, Father. We now seek a blessing upon Brother Beard as he brings us the important information concerning this study and the sacrifice, and recognizing that the great sacrifice was that which was made by thee in the gift of thy dear Son. We pray, Father, that you will now bless us and bless each heart. Open them up that we may be receptive to truth and guide and direct our paths, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Beard has been here many times before, so he needs no introduction, and we always appreciate his many comments and many studies. But we thought it would only be right that he should be able to stand up here from time to time and carry on that study. So without further ado, I want to turn the meeting over to Brother Ed.
Thank you, Brother God. Good evening, Brother. Good morning, Brother. It's a pleasure to be here, and we're grateful to our Heavenly Father for permitting us to be here with you again. So we know the Lord is with you, Brother, in here, and we'd like to be with our brothers. Really do. And in considering our study here, we stated we would have liked more time to have made the outline, but with such good students as we have here, all we need is to give the title, and the rest will be carried on. And we thought maybe we could deal with the basis for a sacrifice, and then a little bit from the type and antitype, and maybe a little more of how it practically relates to us as children of God. So our first question, as you see, is define sacrifice, offering, and oblation, and how are they related? Do they relate to us, or what about it? Ready for some of our brethren to comment on this. Take sacrifice. Define sacrifice.
Well, I found in Strong's Concordance the definition of the word translated sacrifice means a slaughter, the flesh of an animal, or to kill or slay.
Anyone want to comment on that? David?
I found basically the same thing Sister Joan did. The word sacrifice concerns the giving up of a life.
Okay.
According to the a modern dictionary we have at home, it says sacrifice as the act of offering as propitiation to deity. It's making a propitiation.
It's covering now. Quite a bit.
Along with the sacrifice, and I like the thought that was given in the dictionary about a given up to or to forego some valued thing for something of greater value.
I kind of like that part too. Anyone else? Brother Danny.
To offer a living thing.
Living thing. I think we will get into more of that too later on, will we? All right, we have the offering. Is there any difference in offering now? Sister?
To present, from the dictionary, I have to present as an act of
worship. Sister Joan.
Well, again, from Strong's Concordance, definition is to rise or raise, bring up, exalt, hold up, or lift up.
Mm-hmm. All right.
discussion?
I have one from Strong's, also number 4503. To a donation, a sacrificial offering, usually bloodless and voluntary.
We have one example on offering that's, I think, is beneficial to us to learn the lesson from. It's in Exodus 25, 1 and 2. And Moses was about to construct a tabernacle. Sister Judy, would you read that?
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering.
Did we learn a lesson from this?
Well, that God would accept only that which was given willingly.
Simple enough, isn't it? And so the act of making an offering of praises, something offered as a gift. After all, God gave us the greatest gift, didn't he? And so how does oblation put in that? Oblation.
John's concordance had, there were two different places. One was 4503, which was translated oblation in the Revised Standard Version, but sacrificed in the King James, which is what Sister Jackie brought out, that it's a sacrificial offering, usually bloodless and voluntary, gift or present. And then in 7133, the word korban is also translated oblation, which means something brought near the altar.
Could we say that would be like presenting ourselves near the altar? Brother Jim?
Looking up in one of the dictionaries also, it's going along with your thought, Brother Ed, it says, something offered now especially to God, dedicated to religious work, and then it had consecrated. So I appreciate that thought. There's something consecrated to God, perhaps giving up ourselves.
All right, Sister.
For me, it shows the dependence of this person was coming closer to the altar to sacrifice, dependence upon God. Depending upon God to accept the sacrifice, without dependence and trust, we would not do any step forward.
Mm-hmm. Any further comments on these definitions there?
I was just going to suggest that Leviticus 2 is very helpful, and we've already talked about how. We're sort of getting in a little bit as to how these are related and the differences between the two the definitions. How sacrifice generally applied to a living thing, an animal, which also is an offering, could be an offering, and an oblation also related to that would be something which might be a bloodless offering. In Leviticus 2, it talks about this meat offering. And about how it is an oblation, and it turns out that this is made from the fourth verse, for example. And if thou bring an oblation of a meat offering, bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. Here it even tells how this offering is to be made up. And then we see how all of these are sort of put together there on the first verse of chapter 3. And here we find all of these things mentioned in a single verse. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering. If he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. So here we have all three words mentioned in one verse. And you can see how they're related. And I expect we'll get into that a little more in the next part.
So we see then that, sort of summed up, the offering was, as Brother Rod read there, to be sinless, without leaven, and then in the case of the animal, without blemish. And of course, if we went to it, would be free will. We will sacrifice it.
I was noticing this in Leviticus 2, it was to have frankincense put on it. And in our tabernacle, they were laying frankincense, symbolizes praise. And Webster's definition was an offering of a sacrifice, thanksgiving to God. That's what that says.
It's very nice. Anyone else? All right. That gives us more or less a pretty good thoughts on what we're talking about, unless anyone has any further take it up. Sister Sharon?
It shows how these are the top one that's offered is the sacrifice, and then below that is the offering and the oblation.
Another definition Webster, I think Webster had, was the thing offered would be the oblation. So, in that sense, where the sacrifice, if it's a feeble offering, would be the oblation. Okay, well, continue on then. What lesson, number two, what lesson is illustrated by the following? A, the first sacrifice in the history of man. Sister Olga?
It's in Genesis 3:21.
3:21. You read that? Do you have it at hand?
And to Adam also,
and to
his wife, did the Lord make
coats of skins to clothe them. And what does this show? What does this show along with our lesson?
It shows that God sacrificed animals to clothe Adam and Eve because they're clothing what they had chosen. They were earthly and they were not sufficient. Mm-hmm. And that shows that life for life was always a dead time.
Good talk, John.
It reminds me of the scripture that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So the Lord was trying to show us that it needed, we needed the ransom in order to cover.
First basis for showing that. Basis for sacrifice. Sister Lorraine?
This is what I was going to say.
Brother David?
Yeah, I'd like to interject one more thought in there along the same lines, and that is that after they had sinned, Adam and Eve were naked before God, and they needed this covering, again showing that to come before God, one needs the covering of Christ's merit, or the hope of Christ's merit. Yeah, the ransom sacrifice.
And the covering which they had prepared of themselves was insufficient. And it demonstrates that we can't go before God through any merit of our own, through any accomplishment of our own, through any works of our own. We can only go in the merit of Jesus and our Lord. See, and He, as in this case, provided that. So God gave His Son, and this is the picture shown here. God provided those skins, so they couldn't say, as they could have with the provision that they had made, that they were now able to come before God through some work of their own hand. I think this is a very powerful point.
And it is. I like the way Olga brought out that it was they chose the earthly thing, and the Lord was demonstrating the heavenly sacrifice, and the brother brought out did two things to show that we have covering and shed blood is needed. That is very, very good. Is there any more comment on that? Then Abel's sacrifice.
Abel sought to know the Lord's will and offered an acceptable sacrifice. It was a type of Christ's redemptive sacrifice. And we also should seek to know the Lord's will that we might be acceptable to Him.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Sister Audrey.
I think Abel was seeking to find out what is God's mind. What would he went back, and Brother Rodney gave a good illustration of it, because he was thinking about those things what his mother and father were telling him, and he wants to find God's mind in it, what would be the most pleasing to him. And so he was his chosen, and he probably heard about how God clothed them with his own clothing or covering, and he thought that this maybe would be the most appropriate thing to do in his God's.
No, that's very good. Who is that? I think that's Sister Adele.
No, I was just thinking in Hebrews 11:4, we do find out that although Cain did offer a sacrifice which was acceptable to the Lord, but Abel's was more excellent. So both had Abel really accepted the lesson that he received, he wouldn't have been happy if he had. Really, his fault was that he had become wrathful concerning the fact that Abel's offering was accepted and his wasn't.
Well, your thought is that his heart was right and his offering.
At first his heart was right. He just didn't take the lesson. Because he did make a sacrifice, was considered a sacrifice as far as the Lord was concerned, but that of Abel was more getting Cain and his stuff. But one was more perfect sacrifice.
Brother Kenneth, and then Sister Jill.
Well, she touched on part of what I was going to say. But I think it's strange the parallel between what Cain did and what Adam and Eve did. They made fig leaves to cover themselves, and Cain took his first of the harvest, to make the sacrifice with. And so the Lord wasn't satisfied with the covering used in the case of Mother Eve and Adam, and he certainly wasn't entirely pleased, although he would have accepted it in the sense that if Cain hadn't gotten excited and decided he was very angry with Abel, if he'd contained himself, God would have accepted his sacrifice, but not as highly as he would have Abel's. So we have these two parallels there, in which two instances, the vegetation was used for coverings. It wasn't approved at all.
The lesson was that blood had to be shed. Sister Jones.
I think this is a good example of that scripture, which we'll come to later on, but it fits in here too, that obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because they were both good sacrifices, and it was brought out. Cain's heart was right to begin with in wanting to sacrifice to the Lord, but he should have been more earnest in seeking out what is the Lord's will concerning sacrifice. And then when the Lord showed him this, he could have repented and brought the proper sacrifice.
So our lesson would be seeking what the Lord's will is concerning us. I think Brother
Rod, I was thinking that perhaps attending to our definition of the words as we started out would make it a little bit clearer too. Cain's offering, they're both offerings, but Cain's offering was an oblation and Abel's offering was a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how Cain would have been jealous. It shows the first instance of jealousy here and how it is indeed cruel as the grave and even led to death. Because here he doubtless thought, well, now I have worked hard and sweat over that field. He worked hard to produce that. Whereas Abel didn't have to work so hard. Those animals, you see, reproduced themselves by themselves. He just tended them. It was nothing of his doing. course not. See, that was God's doing. So again, it was all the more appropriate that Abel's sacrifice would be along that line.
I don't have all the facts now, but I remember hearing this, and maybe someone could substantiate it. But for verse 7, it says, when God answered, why art thou wroth? And he said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin. Now, this word for sin is the same for sin offering. And I'm saying, like, a sin offering lies at that door. Almost like saying, you know, I will accept your sacrifice if you just go to your brother's and get a lamb from his flock.
Is it proper? Anybody like a comment on her question there? That's a good thought. I got any further comment on that?
Yes.
Then Cain could have went to Abel and asked Abel for sacrifice. But then he would have been following the Lord's direction here from the beginning. Okay, well, thank you, Brother Ryan.
But to do that, he would have to have been humble. Mm-hmm. And after all, was he not firstborn? Was he not the one that Eve had said, I've gotten a man from the Lord? Wasn't he the promised seed? They thought he was. And how mistaken they were, as they discovered later.
And we can see how the flesh worked against him there. Okay, let's continue on to Isaac now. Isaac offered in sacrifice.
Isaac offered in sacrifice. This shows how Isaac was willing to do the father's will. Because correct me on this if I'm wrong, Isaac is usually thought to be a youngster sacrifice, but as I've been able to study it out, that he was a grown man, and he could have overcome his father. So it was really willing on his part to be offered in sacrifice, and this is how we should be.
Always ready and willing to trust my father. That fits the type, good, doesn't it? Anybody want to comment more on the type we're dealing with here?
Just to notice that as we're looking at these three examples, we start out with the skins provided Adam and Eve, which is very obscure. Then the Lord sees Abel's sacrifice, and he says, he's seeing it, he's getting closer, and he especially recognizes it, so they see it. And then finally we come to the sacrifice of Isaac, and all of a sudden it's not merely the shedding of blood or an animal sacrifice. They now must see the lesson that it's going to have to be human blood. It's going to have to be a parallel sacrifice, a life for a life. So this is expanded upon. And all of the various aspects of it, how that sacrifice would have to be willing. That sacrifice would have to get onto the altar itself. And here we have the case that they begin this program, and the final the actual sacrificing of Isaac takes place on this third day. And we can think of all of the other parallel aspects of that. How the Lord had a ministry of 3.5 years. So on.
Beautiful picture, Sister Sharon.
Another lesson I appreciate so much here is in this lesson of Isaac, it's kept repeated, God will provide the ram. And that is true. God provided Jesus, and he also provided our justified humanity. That we have something that we can sacrifice, our rights to restitution in the name. God has provided
them. Very good. We have a beautiful picture there in Isaac.
I think it's beautiful too in that it shows the submission of Isaac to his father and how it wasn't Isaac who did the sacrificing. He was submissive and allowed himself to be tied to the altar. But it was the father who is a sacrifice. And it's our high priest who performs the sacrifice after we present it to him, and if it's accepted. And I was thinking about how he bound him with these cords, you know, to put him on the altar. They usually bound the animal with twine or whatever, some kind of rope. And I think of how the Father says he binds us with the cords of love.
In verse 6, I think that's a beautiful expression there, showing the fact that our Lord Jesus, it says Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. Jesus took the cross and carried it. And he went to his burnt offering, so to speak, by being an acceptable sacrifice. So I think that's kind of a pretty picture there.
Well, I think on any one of these questions, we could spend a full lesson and still gain more beautiful thoughts.
Am I right that there is where the ram became the symbol for the seed of Abraham at that time?
How far am I out here?
Well, I think that's correct, because God provided the ram is in the thicket. And when Isaac said, Father, there's a ram, why, he went and got that ram and offered it to the Lord. Yes, I think very definitely.
Mr. Sharon?
You can also think of the ram that's offered in the tabernacle, the ram of consecration, showing God's acceptance of the sacrifice.
Your sister Olga?
Yes, I agree on this, because when Abraham wanted in his heart, he was preparing everything to sacrifice his son. God accepted it as sacrifice, as an entitled will be our Lord. We can read the mind of God, and this is his plan. And then he said, I will provide another one, another sacrifice. He took an animal. It was a picture the little flock included in this first sacrifice. From God's standpoint.
That's another beautiful thought. We can just go on and on, couldn't we? My sister Young?
One other thing that kind of goes along with what Sister Olga said, that our Heavenly Father accepts our intention as if it's already accomplished, even though we always fall short of what we want to do for Him. He accepts our intention.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Our heart intentions can be right, even though our flesh not be. Our intentions can be right. Anyone else?
Well, Ed, I made a slight mistake while ago. I met Abraham and I said Isaac found the ram, but it's interesting because Abraham is a picture of Jehovah in the tithe. And here he found the ram, and God had the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. So that's a beautiful picture of that.
If I don't see
a fault,
because I might miss somebody who wants to comment. Are we ready to go into the Antichrist, then the bullock and the goat? All these things we can't dig too much on it. Like you say, they're all a lesson in themselves. Lessons is more. All right? The bullock. In your tabernacle picture. What was it then? I can Atonement Day sacrifices. Mr. Comment here.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, the book represented Christ, perfect humanity.
Anyone else? Sister Sharon?
Maybe I could just go through the book, just what happened to it, how its body, it was slain by Moses on the altar, and just before it was slain, Aaron and his sons put their hands
but were burned outside the camp. The inward parts, life-producing parts, the kidneys, those type of organs were burned in the court. And then the high priest took the blood and the incense and two handfuls of coals of fire, took them from the altar into the holy, put it on the golden altar where it was a smoke and a sweet perfume that went over and covered the mercy seat, covered justice and covered the law. And Jehovah saw that, and it was beautiful, sweet incense. And the blood was also of the bullock put on the horns of the altar and also on the earth.
Nor the horn showed the power of the sacrifice, nor the ground showed that even the earth was redeemed, but just covering the mercy seat. But that sweet savor showed the Heavenly Father's acceptance of Christ's sacrifice, which made the way for us to. And then on, we had an advocate then. Brother Rod explained last night how we approach the Heavenly Father through our advocate. Anyone else comment on this? So these choices parts, inward parts and fat, this that was burned on the core on the altar. What did this represent now? Is this a good one?
Well, the fat and the life-producing organs represented the love with which the sacrifice was presented. And this showed, this made it a sweet-smelling savor, which is how the sacrifice appears to our Heavenly Father and to the other members of the body in the court.
Of course,
to help for the faith. Yeah.
And of course, this fat mixed in with the choicest part, it made it burn fast, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The zeal of my Father's house, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And with the more fat, the more zeal, the quicker the sacrifice is offered and accepted. And with the goat, remember, what about the goat now? How did it compare?
One thing I wanted to mention before we get to the goat about the bullock, it was offered up for Aaron and his house.
Yeah.
Which is very important. Another thing, too, is that the, correct me if I'm wrong, the blood that was sprinkled on the mercy seat also covered the contents that were in the Ark of the Covenant, which consisted of the law, two tablets of law, and the golden pot of manna, and Aaron's rod, which budded.
Reminded of Psalm 69:9, where it says, "For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are falling upon me." Christ's zeal was such that he was constant praise to the Father for the privilege of sacrificing, Jesus did, and he showed it all the way to the cross. And that's true of every one of us. If we should have the proper zeal, the burning desire to fulfill our covenant of sacrifice.
I know we won't cover everything. Sister Sharon?
I did a mistake. He had the censer full of burning coals and two handfuls of incense. I had it back.
Well, we knew what you meant.
Thank you.
Sister Jen.
Well, one thing, the blood was sprinkled on the earth, too, showing that even the earth is covered.
Yes.
And Brother Ed, one of the things that has always been impressive to me is that we realize we have a standing before the Lord through the merit of Jesus. But you see, we don't really see that. What we see is what's underneath that robe, namely ourselves, and that's always a depressing thing. And it leads us oftentimes to somehow doubt, you see, whether we're making progress and are acceptable to the Lord. And so it's a very comforting thought to realize that the blood of the bullock was sprinkled on behalf of Aaron and his house, as already mentioned, as Brother David mentioned, the contents in the ark. So, see, this was the mercy seat, the seat of justice. So it shows that through that blood, justice is satisfied, and it is just, therefore, to apply the contents of that box, which is the law, shows the law was just, will be in the mediatorial, and will be a new law covenant. And it shows that the immortality which the church will receive, it's just that God should give that to us. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants us to have it. And through that process, it's just and proper. Will be the sympathetic high priest and bring forth fruitage, as illustrated by Aaron's rod that budded. And through this process that we're engaging in, it's just that we should receive that. It's hard for us to accept that sometimes because we know we don't deserve it, and that's certainly true. But because of Jesus' blood, it is a just arrangement. And so we can boldly accept those things.
We need to have more confidence in that, his sacrifice on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Olga.
In the tabernacle shadow, Brother Russell mentioned a very good point. Why in the court the bullock was slain? In the third sister, the bullock was also slain in the court, which we have seen typified the condition of faith and in harmony with God, the highest attainment of the flesh, the human nature. That's why it has to be, he couldn't have been slain in the holy or in another place, but he has to be slain in the court because of the condition.
Okay, then we go to the goat now. If I'm rushing it too fast, I know we're not going to cover it. We'll try to get a little bit of each maybe if we can. How about the goat? That's what we're really interested in. I mean, we have a personal interest in the goat. Who?
Well, everything that happened to the goat first happened to the bullock. In one of the articles, Brother Russell brought out a very interesting point, which I appreciate very much. He said that without the sacrifice of the bullock, the goat would be nothing.
Okay. And so it's sort of a privilege, isn't it, to be able to follow in the footsteps of the Master.
And it also shows the weighty responsibility which is ours, remembering that the blood of the bullock was applied on behalf of Aaron and his house. In other words, really on behalf of that goat. Because the goat didn't amount to much. And in fact, it wouldn't amount to anything except for the blood of the bullock, which made it worth something now. Sort of like a person who becomes an instant millionaire because somebody else made him so. And that's the way it is with us. Our sacrifice is valuable only because of the blood of the bullock. Then to realize that the blood of the goat was sprinkled on the mercy seat for the whole house of Israel. So the whole house of Israel was sitting there waiting, not just for the blood of the bullock. That was for Aaron and his house. They were waiting for the blood of Aaron of the goat, picturing the church, because that was for them. And so likewise, the world's salvation in the mediatorial is waiting, and the whole world groaneth and travaileth in pain together, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because we have an embargo on that blood of the ransom, and until such time as we pay that back, essentially sprinkle it back onto the mercy seat, why the world has to wait.
A skinny goat, as I heard it termed before. Not much fat, not much zeal to burn on the altar, but it, the fact that the way was made for it is just a good.
I was thinking about the zeal of the goat the fat not being as much. It just seems to me like our responsibility is that we must love the Lord most supreme, and Brother Russell says the principles for which he stands, so that love for others would be in comparison, love for the Lord in comparison with love for the others would be more like hate. And he says also that we are to be ready to sacrifice at the Lord's command every earthly hope, aim, object, and to lay down our lives willingly, gladly.
Brother Dave?
Yeah, Sister Jackie brought to mind that scripture. I don't remember right where it's at off the top of my head, but it says if thou lovest mother, father, sister, brother, or anything more than me, thou cannot be my disciple. And so there again, illustrating the principle that Sister Jackie brought out, that you must love the Lord supremely.
All right. Let's go to the antitype of the sacrificing now. We might discuss a little bit how the church is sacrificed. You know, the high priest, this goat didn't get up on the altar by itself and all that. So how does the church sacrifice by the high priest? Might be interesting. Sister Sharon?
Yeah, to start with page 51 in the tabernacle, Aaron, the high priest, represents the new nature of Jesus. The anointed head and body, all the members of his body, foreknown as God. And when we look at Jesus' life now, here he was for 3.5 years, how he carried out this sacrifice. And this is like us now, our new creature, our new desires and hopes and aims to make our calling and election sure. We must carry out, just as Jesus did for 3.5 years, we must study, learn as much as we can that we make our calling and election sure. No one's going to do that for us. We have to make sure that the prayers are being offered up at the golden altar going and preceding us into the most holy of the tabernacle to be pleasing to the Father. We must see to it that our humanity, our justified humanity, is being laid down properly. Not like sometimes a goat, I think now in my own mind, I think of a goat now, it's out trying to eat out of the garbage pile or on top of the roof jumping up and down. And we have to make sure that our justified humanity now, that we're following that bullet. We're not out wasting our time doing something that's going to use up our time and therefore it's going to be gone. We must make sure that we're following the right course at the proper time.
Yeah. Along with that, do we have any choice? How people sacrifice us?
We have a choice that we may not make our calling and election sure. The odds are against us.
Jackie?
Well, we have a choice, the fact that we present ourselves. But in what way he sacrifices, we do that to the Lord.
Well, how do we determine that? Do we have a way to determine how?
Well, I think through study is one way that we determine the will of the Lord. Study the 6 volumes of scripture studies and through prayer. And sometimes we make mistakes, but we have to be ready to admit our mistakes when we see it more clearly and be ready to change and do what is right once we see.
I think that's what Sharon was telling us, and you know, but I like to hear, you know, how we're not going to be strong-minded and say, we want to be sacrificed this way. But like you brought out, searching through the scriptures, searching through the Lord's Word and the volumes, and we learn how to present ourselves and be putty in the Lord's hand, so to speak.
Reading a comment by Pastor Russell that Sharon did this morning, that where Elijah was taken, Elijah in the chariot of fire, and he says, we don't care what kind of a chariot it is, just so we get beyond the veil, that's our aim. We don't care what kind of chariot he provides for us.
Okay, very good. How much more time do you got?
Another 3 minutes or so. Maybe 5 minutes.
You have about 10 minutes worth of tape.
Okay. Should we go to Romans 12:1? I know you must have had that in your last study, sir. valuable legacy for us. Explain the living sacrifice. How do we get a living sacrifice out of it? I know we touched on all of that.
Well, our living sacrifice really is our now justified humanity. Without that justification, we couldn't be sacrificed.
In fact, without that justification, you wouldn't be alive. You'd be a dead sacrifice. That's why Jesus said, you know, let the dead bury the dead. The whole world's dead.
So that's what makes the sacrifice holy and acceptable. This is what we sacrifice. Restitution rights, it's perfect human. We don't look perfect though, do we? But that's what we're going to sacrifice. And Brother Kenneth, I believe, brought out Psalm 69:9. How can we have any evidence that our sacrifice is being accepted?
Well, I can think of places in the scriptures where when the sacrifice was accepted of God, it's because it was consumed by fire.
So if we have fiery trials, then we know that our sacrifice is being consumed.
I'm just going to ask Ben, I felt any heat. It's just yakking the
What one of the reprints of Brother Russell said that we will find his work consuming our time, our energies, our money, our reputation, our farming, earthly hopes and ambitions.
In life, we won't have much time for anything else, right? Brother Ron?
Yeah, I was thinking that these trials or these consumptive processes that take place as the sacrifice is consumed, we have to realize, as Sister Jackie pointed out, these come in many different ways. And too often we assume that we've got to be being burned at the stake or some overt act of some sort is the only thing which is going to represent that. And we see many people in the world who go through fiery experiences, oftentimes more serious than ours, yet theirs is not a sacrifice. So it shows that it has to be through this acceptable process. And those who are engaged in this program are being engaged for a specific reason. Verse 2 of chapter 12 in Romans. And be not conformed to this world. The whole object of this is that we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind or renovation of our mind. For the purpose of proving, you see, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, and we'll have experiences which are similar to the Lord's, and they will do similar things for us. That is, they'll help us grow into an image of God's Son.
Yeah, I think too we can look at 1 Peter 4:12-13. Excuse me. Along the same lines, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings." Notice that it's Christ's sufferings that we are partakers of. "That when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." In other words, when we stand for truth and righteousness and the principles of the truth, when we try to follow in Christ's footsteps, when we are persecuted and reviled for these things, now we can rejoice that we are being tried in this manner.
Sister Sharon,
we look at our head, at Jesus, and we know that the evidence of Him being an acceptable sacrifice was the receiving of the Holy Spirit from God. And we, being part of His body, we come under this anointing, and therefore we have evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit.
Well, maybe we ought to ask, what is a sum total of sacrifice? Sum total. What's this word?
It's the giving up of our will, and
submitting myself fully to the Lord, that His will may be done in all things.
Total submission. Total submission. Anybody comment on that?
I'd like to think there's really two parts to that sacrifice. There's our part and there's God's part. In order for it to be complete.
The will holds the command or the rulership of our time, influence, abilities, and every talent.
And that is turned over to the Lord. Is that what this is? You can completely say to yourself you have done that. You know in your heart that you've done it. It'll be a total sacrifice. What may we do?
I was thinking about drinking of the cup that you drink. That was Mr. Premier.
Is the time up? Enjoy it. See you.
Here. I couldn't easily spend all day just on these questions. And as it is, we appreciate Brother Beard carrying on through the study, not letting us dwell too long on each one question, which we could easily have done. So now we'll close with a hymn, and then we'll ask Sister Jean Coppersmith, if she would close this portion with a word of prayer, and then we'll have a half hour intermission, and then we'll start in again at 11:30 with a discourse from Brother Ed Beard.